This is the Steve Cochran Show.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw.
Seven-Eleven in the morning. Tom Brokaw joins us in just a second here. And in a remarkable career, and really a terrific author, which I think he's underappreciated for. I think the greatest legacy Tom Brokaw has and will have is the fact that he's shown such a light on the greatest generation. Helped coin that term, frankly. And I believe if not for Brokaw, we wouldn't have the great appreciation, fascination, and thrill of, in particular, our World War II vets, of which my father, was a member of that class. Tom Brokaw joins us now. We'll talk about his new book in a second. But I do thank you for that. And I know I tell you that every time I talk to you, but it meant a lot to me.
Well, thanks, Steve. And it's always been a pleasure to be with you. I must say, I wrote the book in 1998. And now, 18 years later, there's not a week that goes by that two or three people don't come up to me somewhere at an airport or on the street. And some of them get quite emotional and say, I didn't understand my dad until I read your book. Or the old guys,
right.
the old ladies say, thank you, Mr. Brokaw. We were just doing what was expected of us. So it's very, very touching to me, and I'll feel connected to them forever. When I wrote the phrase, the greatest generation, I did not expect it to become part of the language, but it's now used without quotation marks even anymore.
I should be very proud of it. Well, so let's talk about the obvious here, because this is the nature of the book. How are you feeling?
I'm actually in remission, and I'm very grateful for that. I have to monitor it very carefully. I get up every day and take a chemotherapy pill. I took one this morning. That one alone cost $500. That puts it in perspective in some degree about how expensive everything is, and in addition to a lot of others. I did have spinal damage because it's a cancer that invades your bone marrow as well, and I had four fractures in my spine. That still is an issue for me that I'm working on, and I think the therapy is getting me back to where I'm at least comfortable with it. So I'm just, I'm a lucky guy yet, and I'm very happy to have the resources that I do and the treatment that I have and to be able to continue. And it makes me so aware of what so many other families go through.
Well, it's good of you to say, but in the book, A Lucky Life Interrupted, you deal with a very real scare that anybody has, regardless of their position in life, when they get a diagnosis like that. So educate us for a second. Multiple myeloma, a blood cancer, right?
It is. It is not a prevalent cancer. It strikes people, mostly males, in their 50s and 60s, although it's now percolating down into the younger generations as well. And what happens is that a particular kind of blood cell goes rogue and it invades bone marrow. I had a hole in my pelvis at the time I was diagnosed. I didn't realize that. I had a lot of back pain. It turns out I had four lower back fractures at that time. So what I say to men of my age, and it really does hit men more than it does women, if you get a backache, it's not just because you're overextending on a golf swing or that you were in playing tennis or whatever, go get a blood test because that's how they find out whether or not you've got multiple myeloma.
Dave, your mom passed from this at a time when the technology isn't what it is today. What are your recollections of it in your own life?
Well, I mean, she lived with it for a number of years and there was some new medication. I believe a drug called Revlimid is
That's the one I took today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And I remember.
And that's the encouraging part for multiple myeloma. When I was diagnosed, I said immediately, how long do I have? And the guy said, well, statistically, 5 years, but we're making so much progress. There are new drugs coming online all the time. I think you're going to be able to beat that, and that, in fact, has been the case. Since I've been in remission, two new drugs have been developed that if I fall out of remission, they say, we think these will get you back into remission. So it's very heartening, the work that is being done at Dana-Farber, at the Mayo Clinic, at Memorial Sloan Kettering, and at MD Anderson. On multiple myeloma is very encouraging.
The book, again, is called A Lucky Life Interrupted. As I always say, get two copies. You're careless, you'll lose the first one. Pass it on to a friend. Because it not only details some of the great moments in Brokaw's career, it also talks about what everybody listening to our voices now knows. You either are someone or you love someone who has dealt with cancer. And Brokaw is very honest and very real about what it feels like to be that person. I think it's a little different, though, in your case, because everybody knows you. And, you know, you come from a generation, and as men, we don't like to be weak in any way, shape, or form. So when people ask
you... That's true. One of the things that happened to me is that I do have a high threshold for pain. I inherited it from my father, who was the toughest guy I'd ever known. We used to say he was going to bleed to death through his hands because he was a heavy equipment operator, and he was always getting banged up. And he'd come home and just run a little cold water over what looked to me to be an open wound of some
kind. Right.
So people would say to me, the doctors would say, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, Tom, which pain level? And I'd say, oh, about a 4. My daughter, the doctor, would stand behind me and hold up 6 fingers. And they said, we really need her around you because she knows you better than you know you.
But, you know, it's a good point to make because we as men, and women do this as well, but be honest with your doctor, be honest with yourself, and be honest with yourself when it comes to these twinges and things like back pain and different things in your body. That inner voice will tell you this is a bigger deal. And go see your doctor and get tested.
Yeah, back, and don't be afraid to answer. Ask any question. I mean, in my case, when I got to New York, a bunch of specialists came in and said, hey, Tom, look, we're really ahead of the game here. You're going to be back on your feet in 6-9 months, and then they walked out. And no one said to me at the beginning about fatigue is going to become a big part of your life because this, how we medicate you is going to knock you down. No one said you have to be really, really cautious about getting infection. I just had a bronchial condition last week, and I had to jump all over it right away because the resistance is way down. And right off the bat, I had no idea that the bone pain would be so great. I'll tell you one quick story about that, though, how I'm helped by other ways. We had a terrible winter in New York in 2013, the year that I was diagnosed, and I would force myself out of the apartment every morning, shuffle half a block to a coffee shop to get a bagel and a cup of coffee, and it'd be sleeting and icing, and I'd walk by this bus stop, had this enormous poster of Tom Brady staring moodily down the street advertising UGG boots, and all the women waiting for the bus would be mooning over him. I'd get up to it, look at him. I'd get up to the poster, look at it, and drop the F-bomb on him, and then just keep on going, and that would really help me go through the rest of the day.
All right, I know we're short on time, but I got to ask you one journalist question. Overnight last night, we get more backpedaling from Trump. Obviously, Hillary has a number of questions to answer as well. Maybe I'm getting old, but I've never seen a time, with the exception maybe of our friend Chuck Todd, with the reluctance to ask the major follow-up questions in sit-downs with the candidates because one happens to be loud and a bully. Are we in trouble for that?
Well, you know, actually, that's not entirely fair. If you look at Chuck's last interview with Donald Trump about how he went after him on his taxes and when he was going to release him, when we went after him on Meet the Press on his...
No, I said with the exception of Chuck Todd. In other words, Chuck's the only one that is doing it.
Yeah, well, I think that that's fair. The problem now is that the arena has been so expanded because of social media, Twitter and all the blog sites and the rallies that he has. It seems like they're not being held accountable. But if anyone were to really do due diligence and go back through how he has been questioned, you'll find out there are enormous gaps in his answers. That's also true of Hillary, by the way, on both sides.
Right.
So, it's a different arena now that we're dealing with, and I think that the individual voters have a real obligation to themselves to, as I often say, you've got to spend as much time deciding which candidate you want to support as you would in what flat-screen television you're going to buy.
Yeah, at least. I know you got to run and talk to other people, but I wish you nothing but the best. You know how big a fan I am, and I always appreciate your time. The book's called A Lucky Life Interrupted, and Tom's going to be around a long time to continue to write, educate us, and be a part of the discussion, and that's good news for everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. I always love coming to the show.
Take care. That's Tom Brokaw.